We're back with more of Lake Effect. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Teich. Last month, we spoke with Wisconsin writer Kim Soorer about her new short story collection called Nothing to Lose. It's Soorer's first published book of fiction, and while that's a story, its publisher is a story itself.
Earlier last year, leaders at UW-Stevens Point proposed eliminating more than a dozen humanities programs at the school. That plan was scaled back in the fall to just six programs. Advocates of the cut say they're needed to both address a budget crunch, but also to better reflect the needs of central Wisconsin, specifically in areas such as career training.
But critics point to humanities programs that already exist at the school, such as the aforementioned publisher, Cornerstone Press, a working publishing house managed by UW-Stevens Point students. While we spoke with Kim Soorer in studio, we were joined via Skype by Ross Tangadal, an English professor and director of Cornerstone Press, and by Monica Swinnick, editor-in-chief, Maddie Swanger, the director of operations, and Katie Nachampasak, the press's chief of staff. Tangadal explained how the work on Soorer's book is representative of how Cornerstone operates.
What's interesting about the press is that we're staffed entirely by students. We do have an administrative team, myself, another professor, and an alumnus of the university. She's our development coordinator. So we're kind of restructuring to become more like a legitimate small press, Gray Wolf and Coffee House in Minneapolis, presses like that. And Kim's book really fits into that new kind of model. So we have 40 to 50 manuscripts submitted to our press throughout the year. That means that our entire staff vets a significant amount of those manuscripts. Now, they don't read them entirely. They read cover letters, query letters, selections. We actually have Maddie, who's with us today as well, was our acquisitions intern a month before the course began. That staffs the press. So she was able to vet all 46 manuscripts pretty significantly and give direction to the staff then once they got their hands on query letters and cover letters. What I impress upon my staff is as we're going through the process of acquiring a manuscript for the year. Of course, the number one issue is quality. Because we're a teaching press, we have the ability to really put out the best book that we see. We don't have to worry as much about if something's going to be more popular, quote unquote. You know, we're looking for salability certainly, but we're certainly looking for quality first. So when we got to the final two, I'd say we came down to the final two relatively quickly, and the reason her book stood out. There's a line in Night Vision that I certainly attached to, and then when the students were talking about it, I said we have to find passages in each work that speak to us, or at least so the passages that I, or the chapters or book or stories I'd given them to read, I wanted to hear sort of passages. And the one that stood out was at the very end of Night Vision, the narrator says, "She had a voice you could tie your boat to," which to us was a very significant moment. I said, books are all about moments. That's how books work. That's how they've always worked. A good book has a lot of moments. And for the first story to have such a profoundly poignant moment at the end of such a dark story really grabbed hold of me and certainly grabbed hold of the staff. And they decided kind of right there.
Kim, I know you work a lot with developing writers, and so I wondered if this work with Cornerstone meant something to you for working with a teaching press.
Yeah, I'm so glad you asked that, because some writers might be a little uncomfortable with turning their book over to a group of undergraduate students. And I didn't have any of that trepidation because I work with high school writers during the summertime, and I see what they're capable of at that young age. And, you know, I know that the people that are in this class and in this press, they would have been the kids that would have been at camp with me. So it's kind of like neat to see the future of what my former students might be doing.
And so let me turn back to Monica and Maddie and Katie and Ross as well. What is it that draws you to this end of the business?
This is Maddie Swanger, and I'm the director of operations. You know, we often joke in class and throughout the semester that, you know, we're all amateurs that are treated like experts because none of us have any knowledge, or none of us had any knowledge of this business truly, like the ins and outs, before taking the class. So we're all kind of going in blind, but the beauty of the course is that, you know, it's okay that we're going in blind because we all learn together. And this industry is one that you don't often get a chance to learn about, you know, the makings of it from start to finish, like, you know, acquisitions and then to final marketing and selling the book. And we all work together, and working with Kim especially has been so great because she has been so open to this model, which, like she said, most authors probably wouldn't be, because at the end of the day, we are amateurs and we are learning how to do this along with her. And, you know, it's a great opportunity for us to get a look into this industry that is so far out of our reach, because, you know, we're all from central Wisconsin. You know, we're not from New York or, you know, Chicago or these big cities where publishing is so big. So it's really great that this exists for us where, you know, we probably wouldn't have the opportunity to have it.
And if I could interject here, too, it was such a wonderful experience seeing what the different editors found in my stories to make suggestions about, question, ask for clarification on. My circles, my writing circles, tend to be a little middle-aged and older. So to have these young people with a different perspective on the world bringing things to my attention in the stories. It was wonderful, and it actually was very validating because, okay, it doesn't only play for old people. And they made my work better.
Well, and I wondered on the publisher end whether there's a certain amount of creative or artistic freedom that you bring to this without having the weight of, you know, years of sort of jaded New York decision making hanging over you, whether you can sort of come to this with fresher eyes.
Absolutely, we have freedom. We are able, as a small press, to do whatever the hell we want, and that's pretty nice. We do have a backlist. We published this. Kim's book is our 40th title since 1984. So we've kind of lived as this little secret. And so I've been here since 2016, and we've built a steady new model that allows for increased visibility, increased quality of design, of editing, of production, of marketing, of sales, but also increasing our kind of regional map. So Kim's book is our first Wisconsin book. And I talked, Kim was in town last week during, while the book is being printed at our local printer. And one of the things we talked about is, right now, New York City is not going to publish a book by a Midwestern writer about the Midwest, lest it has a very specific point of view. So something like Kim's book is going to be just completely ignored in the New York scene. I've got friends from the Midwest who've been trying to get collections and novels published for decades. And the same thing is told, their agents tell them the same thing. Well, a book about the Midwest isn't going to sell. And literally, this has been the case for, what, 50, 60 years? Yet, these voices need to be heard, and they need to be brought out. And we at the Cornerstone Press are able to provide that platform for voices that deserve to be published. And so I consider it a democratization of the publishing process, that a teaching press is able to create quality work and show larger industry standard folks that good writing happens everywhere. Okay, Monica.
Sure. Well, on that point, like, that's a huge thing for me. Having a platform and then being able to give that platform to someone with a voice that otherwise would be, you know, underground or experimental or underrepresented is so important. So becoming a part of the press and being able to become more active and decisive in that process has been so cool. And I want to draw back to what Kim was saying before we segued into this question. With editing, I think that both of us, I don't know, I can't speak for you, Kim, but we, on our end, we were really nervous. We didn't know, I think the copy editors at first and content editors, we were nervous because we didn't think we had the authority because we'd never done this before. And I think the same was true of you in the first edit where you weren't sure where to give us, you know, yes or no. It was kind of like, what do you think? And I think we finally broke the tension after the first few edits where it's like, all right, we're all on the same page here. We're not trying to hurt feelings. We're not trying to, you know, we were all learning in the process. And I think that was really neat, acknowledging that everyone was learning, whether it was us or Kim at being at your first book being published or your first short story collection being published.
Kim, does that jibe with what you remember?
It does, and I felt like, in a way, I almost had to give you guys permission to be the editors in some ways, because you you gave me, I think, a little bit more input than other writers might have, which was wonderful. But I also wanted to empower you to make the decisions that editors need to make also. So I hope that it seems like we hit a nice medium in there.
Not too much bloodletting on either side.
Exactly.
Katie, what do you think?
This is Katie Nachumpasak, Chief of Staff for the Cornerstone Press. Basically, both Maddie and Monica's answers were what I was going to say, but I also want to add in that, like Monica said earlier, this whole process has been one giant learning process. Like, since day one of class, we've been thrown into the world of editing and publishing. And in my perspective, I think that's really amazing. Because I'm also an elementary education major, and I highly believe that all students should really be thrown into their fields to see, like, whether they like it or not, and to really gain that hands-on experience. So with the Cornerstone Press, this whole press is one giant hands-on experience. And if we didn't have this or any other student-run press at all, then how would you know whether or not, like, you would enjoy this world, because this is such a fascinating thing to be a part of.
So as we're having this conversation, there are several humanities programs at UW-Stevens Point that are facing the chopping block. Where do you think a program and an entity like Cornerstone Press fits in the discussion of the usefulness of the humanities at a school like Stevens Point?
Yeah, this is Ross Tangadol. I have plenty to say about this, so I'll keep it brief. It's a double-edged sword, because my coursework here and curriculum represent sort of what you would call, quote-unquote, the practical side of humanities, which I think is a strange misnomer. I think there's an immense practicality to the humanities. It's been proven again and again by Forbes, Fortune 500 companies, how they're looking for certain skill sets, but not just skill sets, but how people navigate those skill sets in a very complex work environment. So with that caveat at the beginning, yes, programs like mine, the English department at a small regional comprehensive university, are under fire. People are afraid that, what can people do with an English degree? What can people do with philosophy and history degrees? The key is the value of what we do in the Cornerstone Press. I have learned as a professor, I have learned more in 3 years from these people than I could have learned in any number of coursework as a student. It's amazing how much you have to learn and how fast you have to learn it. And frankly, it doesn't make sense that our university has this press. This press belongs at, Madison, Minnesota, Michigan. You know, you'd think a big state school would have a teaching press model like this, but no, we have it, and we're very proud of it. And all I would say to those that want to somehow cut the English degree at the University of Wisconsin Stevens Point, I've got an editor right now who went down to Florida and got herself a damn good job in South Florida working for a financial editing company, and she got that because she was editor-in-chief of my press. Okay, I'm sending 6 or 7 kids a year to graduate school for literary study, writing studies, some for publishing studies, because of their work in my department and in the Cornerstone Press. We are producing high-quality graduates with an immense amount of skill sets. And just because we're at a small public regional university doesn't mean we can't treat our students like they're going to Stanford or like they're going to Harvard. If we take away the opportunity for them to really be a part of something that only exists on the coasts and very sparingly throughout the Midwest in Minneapolis or Chicago, then we're losing. Everybody's losing.
I grew up 20 minutes away. I came to Stevens Point because I had no intentions in mind with what I was going to study. I think that finding the press is kind of like, you know, how people talk about falling in love with someone, where you're kind of wandering and then all of a sudden they're there, and it's like, not, you know, it's, you didn't plan it, you didn't go there for it, it just happened to you, and it was kind of serendipitous. And who knew that 20 minutes away would be like where I would travel, you know, hours and states away to be, you know. I'm so lucky for that. And to have Warzala, the printing company, behind a supermarket, it's like a sleeping giant I never knew, you know. It's so serendipitous that I'm here and that this, I have the press. Like, it's totally changed everything for me. I just kind of go off of that. This is Maddie Swanger again. Not only with the press, obviously we are all very proud and of the work that we get to do with the press and everything that it has offered us, but the English professors to begin with and the department is, I truly believe that I could not have received the same education at like Madison or these big, you know, Big Ten universities, because I feel confident that I could go into any career, any industry, and be confident in what I'll be doing because of everything I've learned in these courses and with these professors. And you know, it's not just like big lecture halls with hundreds of students. Like, we have classes with, you know, the most 24 students, and so you get an experience one-on-one with your professors that I would never have received anywhere else. And I'm very, very proud of the department and the professors here at this university, and they just sadly are not getting the recognition that they deserve.
This is Katie Nachapasak again. Like, the English department has changed my life, and English has always changed my life. Like, if I have to go back through all of my schooling, I'd have to say all of my English teachers were my biggest influences for me going into this world of editing and publishing, as well as education. And in my opinion, English and education is such an amazing blend because they both coincide together and they overlay in some sort of way. But if it weren't for the English department here in Stevens Point specifically, I would not be going on the career path that I'm going on right now. And because of all of the English professors and everyone in the English department that I've met throughout my 3 years here, it's been such an amazing journey for me. So I'm forever grateful for that.
Kim, Monica, Maddie, Ross, and Katie, congratulations to all of you on this project.
Thank you.
Ross Tangadol is an assistant professor of English at UW Stevens Point, and he's the director of Cornerstone Press. Monica Swinnick, Maddie Swanger, and Katie Nachapasak are all among the managers of the student-run press, which last month published Wisconsin writer Kim Suhr's collection of short fiction called Nothing to Lose.